I'm Marcus Richardson.
And I'm Nathan Hicken.
I need to reevaluate this friendship that you and I have, Nathaniel Hicken. Incredible. Obviously. Entirely incredible. And I kid you not, I was absolutely at a point where I did not even think about Genevieve betraying me. That's been like the forefront of my mind, like ever since I've worked with her. Like ever since she popped up, I was like, I don't know your motives. You're being way too dodgy. And then for whatever reason, at this point, she was at the Oregon, and I did not think for a second that she would try to make a deal. Oh. Not for a
it's
second.
It's the betrayal exhibit, but for multiple reasons. Ah!
It's called the betrayal exhibit. An incredible finale. Incredible. I speak for all people who listen to this asking, first of all, how did you come up with all of this? Yeah, just like tell me the ideation process of this exhibit.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. I've had this room planned for over a year now.
Crazy.
I knew that I wanted to play with Alec, Jane, and Medina again and show their backstory. So something that, here's a little tidbit. This is where Medina dies.
What?
Yes. As you existed in this little pocket reality, you changed that. But
oh
this
my gosh.
Is where she dies.
Oh my gosh. To
because
Alec's
Alec
hand?
Alec does murder her. And that was the seed for this whole exhibit was... I wanted to explore that. It ended up taking more of a backseat to this other mystery.
Right.
But that is where the inspiration came from initially.
Crazy.
On top of that, I knew I wanted to play with betrayal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to unpack here. So I don't know which avenue you want to go into, but there's inspiration from betrayal. There's also the need for Genevieve. I knew she was going to be a player character, almost like your Watson in this mm-hmm. Exhibit where you're kind of working through it together and she's a lot more seen and present than she has been. So I knew I wanted that, but I also knew that it was going to end with her trying to get what she wanted despite you.
Blindsided. Ugh. I think that near the end, I was thinking more about, I assumed that Belle Hertz was going to pop up again. I assumed that we were racing her and that she was going to walk into the room. I didn't even talk to Medina about what she could offer me. I didn't do anything. But to be fair, it didn't seem like she had anything really going for her in terms, like, sounds like she was lacking total power.
Yes.
And I can only assume we are... hop into the next time you're the curator, the arc continues.
Yes, we'll pick right back up where we left you off in the room of tapes.
Incredible. Do you have a name for the next exhibit?
Tentatively, it's called the Red Room exhibit. Ooh. No, nothing to do with anything from Black Widow or anything, so don't that is don't read into that, but that is tentatively what it's called.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. I was wondering, was there anything that was randomized about the betrayal exhibit? Like, was there any tile drawing that occurred?
Yes. So when I held those two decks, there are two decks. So there was your path that you went through, which has the rooms. Order isn't super important, so I can randomize that. So you had attic, statuary, corridor, attics connect to the chasm, you had the tower, and the vault. Genevieve's path, which is the lower path, went through the underground lake, the crypt, the game room, and then the furnace and the chasm.
Was there an entire different set of puzzles?
Yes, sir, there was.
Nathan, why would you make more content than you can even show? Why would you do that?
Just in case. There's a lot of little things that I added into this that weren't necessary, but just for fun.
I mean, I had a blast. I really enjoy your puzzle design. I'm not actually very good at solving puzzles in a lot of contexts, but I really enjoy it when you're in the the creator's chair, because I feel like you help me through bits, and it always feels very clever. So I had a great time.
I'm glad. But yeah, so Genevieve's path looks completely different. And if you'd picked the other door, it would have been you who'd fallen down. Mm. That's what the doors were.
Dang.
So thus, and if you'd fallen down, it would have been up to Genevieve to save Jane and Medina, and I would have just flipped a coin.
Oh my gosh. That's wild.
Thus, but you would have had to deal with Belle and decide what happens. The order that you did things affected it too. Which gargoyles you pushed when would affect it. If you'd hit the one on the bottom right, that would have hit Genevieve, which would have been detrimental.
I mean, would it have been detrimental? Did you have a secondary ending planned?
You would not have been able to destroy the heart. And
because she had all this stuff?
Yes.
So that would be just a game over. That'd be an old-fashioned game over.
But I suspected that you wouldn't do that. So thus. But there's a lot to unpack. So, okay, I guess, do you want to go through your impressions? Do you want to go through the murder? Do you want to go through Genevieve? Do you want to go through what do you want to tackle?
I mean, what do you want to tell? This is Nathan's tell-all, the behind-the-scenes peek.
Okay. Let's start with the murder then, and we'll work towards this.
Sure.
Okay. So the murder, I desperately wanted to play with the murder mystery trope. Everyone gathered a year after someone's death for some mysterious means. They all know each other, but they pretend that they don't. But there's secret lovers. There's hatred. There's rivalry, whatnot. So that was the vibes I went with, and I desperately wanted you to be able to play the butler.
Important.
I also wanted all the characters to be monsters in some way, shape, or form. So you were a dryad.
Mm-hmm.
You already knew Alec, Jane, and Medina, vampire, fae, banshee. Sumter was a Frankenstein's monster with Lord Weitzel the stand-in for Frankenstein / Prometheus.
Mm.
A note on that, you mentioned, I can't remember if this is off mic, that the I am Prometheus note, you were like, oh, that's actually Lord Weitzel. And you would be correct, because Lord Weitzel sees himself as Prometheus. And as such, he named his greatest creation, Sumpter Hope, after himself. Sumpter Hope is an anagram of Prometheus.
Wow. Anagrams. That's awesome. I love that.
Belle was an Impusa.
Tell me more. What is that?
Could have asked Alec or Genevieve or even Watson. Impusa is basically a creature that has made a deal with the god.
A Papusa?
In Greek mythology. Like... Empusa.
Why have I never heard of this before? It sounds awesome.
They're from Greek mythology. They serve... They might serve Hecate in Greek mythology, but they have a brass leg. And so when Belle Hertz made a deal, if you listen to the Tales of Murder Museum, the Temple of Melanoi, Belle Hertz makes a deal with Melanoi and thus becomes her servant, becoming her Impusa.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh. My exhibits, I just... you know, pull stuff out of my butt, but then like you have, but you on the other hand are like, well, there's a reason her leg is copper, and it's definitely copper because she is an Impusa. That is so cool.
And that's the same thing with Weitzel. That's why he has one too, is because he made a deal, and as part of the deal, she now owns part of him and is intertwined with the creation. Genevieve is also a monster. She is a ghost. She's part of Ghost in the Machine.
Oh, wow. The lore.
Yeah. So I had a lot of fun. Again, none of that is super necessary, but I had a lot of fun building this world.
Yeah. Sometimes I forgot that this was essentially a haunted house. I definitely remembered by part 7, but
yes,
but like, you know, like putting different parts of the body in different spots, there was a lot of spooky stuff, but not so spooky that it felt like horror. It felt creepy, not scary. And I love
yes,
that. I'm happy about that.
My goal was to get spooky and not horror, to kind of balance that fine line. Earlier iterations of this exhibit were more intense, and I was trying to find a good balance that's fun, because we do have fun and it's humor. It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that always has been kind of the balance of the podcast. Or like, I think that when we're at our best, we're simultaneously like dealing with the seriousness of like a crime or a murder.
Yeah.
But then also it's like a comedy podcast. So I think that you found a good balance in this one, and having it be both serious and scary, but also fairly lighthearted in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think that helps having a fun characters and not too grisly of death scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually don't delve too much into the gore of things.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, speaking of spooky things, you tagged this grandfather clock from the beginning. You knew there was something up.
And I
that.
Didn't even check it again.
That is okay, because the grandfather clock has more to do with the murder. So we can go through that really quick.
Yes,
so,
tell me the details.
The clock says C3 on it. C3. What that is a reference to is the bookshelf. If you go back to the library and look at the image of the bookshelf I showed you, there is columns and rows, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3. I wrote all these titles in there. If you go to C3, there's a book called 1142. I had a lot of fun with these titles, by the way. Just saying.
Do you want to read some of your favorites?
Oh, gosh. Some things that I wish were real. I don't know. Radioland 1942. Violet Crimes. Sun Over Moonrise. Rigged to the Nines. Like, I don't... Some of these are just vibes. I have no idea what they mean. Two Dead Horses. Quarter Past One. Choke on It. I don't know.
So,
just like...
So Nathan, someone on the Discord, I'll wrap back around to what we're talking about right now, but someone on the Discord noticed that two of the exhibits I've done were physical objects that you mentioned being in the museum. You mentioned an egg and you mentioned a VHS. I could like use this bookshelf for the rest of our lives, like inspiring different exhibits.
Right?
Like, you could just start something, and then I'd be like, oh, this is Queen of the Ska. Or Queen of the Sky? I can't tell what that is.
Queen of the Ska.
Queen of the Ska.
Shook, Line, and Sinker. I don't know. Yeah.
Her Temple Calls.
There's Riddlesburg over in the corner there, too.
Riddlesburg, which you can find on our Patreon.
That's right. Check out Riddlesburg today. Only the price of a Patreon
subscription. It's either free or $5 a month for perpetuity. I guess that free sounds better, doesn't it?
Yes. Anyway. Yeah, so there's a couple red herring times in these bookshelves in case you caught on to that. So there's like a quarter past one, there's 7:20, but C3, the only book with the numbers in it, is 1142. So, if you then went back to the ballroom and turned the clock to 11:42, it would swing open, much like the one that swung open to let you into the organ room, or to let you swing open to the exhibit.
Yeah.
That leads to a secret passage, which turns and twists into the study.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is where we get into alibis. If you had asked everyone their alibis where they were during the murder, Alec would have insisted that he had stayed in the entrance hall the entire time and he didn't see anyone go into the ballroom except Sumter Hope.
Mm.
Because he was watching to make sure that Sumter didn't leave to go mess around with Medina.
Sure.
So that's why he was standing there. But that means there has to be some other way for someone to get into the ballroom. And that's what the grandfather clock was.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, like, you know, sometimes I clock things and then I just clock and then I just sort of I don't follow up on them. So that's really cool to know. And I love that your mysteries always have more under the surface that I just don't even touch on.
And that's okay. There's, again, so much information, so much stuff going on. Do you have any, I guess, questions on the murder, things that you were like, what about this? Oh, here's one thing. The amulet you found with the Ellstone Academy, that Sebastian the monkey had, that was Sumpter's.
Okay. That is more evidence that monkey was around. I could have figured that out because he was one of, what, two people who attended the university there. Interesting.
Yes, and Alec would have insisted that it wasn't his, so.
See, I could have figured that out, too. That's pretty cool. So, was the dreamer in this, was this, like, just a version of her consciousness, not her actual personality?
It's a sliver, yes, like a partial consciousness to Melanoi. So the part that is still awake and getting more awake as the ropes that bind her are weakening, essentially. Just to clarify some lore, Lord Whitesoul makes deal with Melanoi, discovers that it costs him a soul, doesn't like Melanoi and how she feels like she's using him and whatnot. He traps her away, hides her in his manor. Belle is attracted by the idea of Melanoi and her power and wants to try to use that for herself, and that's why she makes a deal and then goes on to try to free her from Whitesoul. Whitesoul's binds that he uses to trap Melanoi only last for a certain amount of time, and with his death it grows weaker and weaker until it's finally a year later and it's coming very close to breaking out. So he needs people he quote-unquote trusts to try to kill her heart, but he doesn't have the heart to do it because it would kill Sumpter, so he needs to have Sumpter make that choice for himself.
Gotcha.
Melanoi is waking up. The dreamer is becoming more active, being able to influence little things, travel the manor, and then once the haunt starts, again, sending her nightmare ink creatures after things.
Were there any specific haunts in the game Betrayal at House on the Hill that influenced this haunt, or not so much?
No specific ones, just the tiles themselves. Gotcha. I went through the tiles. I initially was going to use all the tiles and have truly randomized.
Oh my gosh.
But I soon realized that's too expansive.
Yes.
And it's hard to solve a murder as the rooms are shifting around, because initially that was also going to be something. So I narrowed it down to 10 rooms post-haunt, and then it's mean to make you go through all of them. So I split into two paths and went from there.
Gotcha. I mean, I think you found a good balance between being inspired by directly and also letting it be your own thing. So I thought it was great. I really had a great time.
I'm glad. What was your favorite part?
Good question. I mean, I think the climax and the ending, of course. I mean, there were some cool moments throughout, but I think the build up to the finale, because this exhibit had a ton of foreshadowing. Like, even from the very beginning, when I enter the exhibit, you give me flashes of visions of what's about to come. So I feel like just seeing all of those payoffs over time was really satisfying. I also really enjoyed the things that, like, I had a feeling were coming, but still happened and caught me off guard when they happened. Like the gun on the wall, or Alec turning into a vampire monster. Like those kind of things really somehow still caught me off guard, which was a lot of fun.
I'm glad it wasn't too... I'm glad it was still surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel sometimes like the podcast is a bit like reading a book of a character who's like very genre savvy. Like, you know, when you watch a horror movie and one of the characters has watched a lot of horror movies and they're like, all right, well, there is no splitting up, because I think that I'm constantly in your mysteries trying to like not speed run, but like kind of cheat a little bit by like sort of being like, well, this probably is this. You know, like how when Jane says, oh, I can't touch that. And I'm like, so what you're saying is that you and one other person definitely could have touched the murder weapon. Is that what you're saying? So like, I do that a lot.
Yes.
So it's fun that you still find ways to kind of like one up me, not one up me, but surprise me. It's great that you still find ways to surprise me because I'm taking such a meta approach sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm really in story and in character, but a lot of times I'm also like,
and that's part of being part of the Bruner Museum is you have outside knowledge. So
right, you know someone's gonna get murdered, you know, like so.
Yeah.
So it's part story, part game, and that's kind of always how it's been.
Yeah, and find a balance. But Melanoy and Genevieve will return very soon.
Oh man. Well, Nathan, here's a promise. My next exhibit is going to be more lighthearted than this one.
I look forward to it.
Heck yeah.
This will be the most puzzly and probably the most spooky exhibit that I do. So
I mean, I heard something about the tomb of Merikari, so I'm thinking we're gonna be excavating an Egyptian tomb at some point. That's what I'm feeling. Those are the vibes, so I'm interested to see if that's where we go next.
I have the next two exhibits planned out, and at the end of the second one, the Genevieve arc will be closed.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, I'm sure I speak for both myself and the listeners when I say I'm really excited to see where you go with this. It's a lot of fun to see you be able to realize larger ideas. And it's also been really cool to see that people enjoy these like larger meta stories and meta lore. I think that it's been really encouraging that people enjoy those things.
It's been fun to see people digging into the cipher at the end that we've been putting in. So
yeah, absolutely. To the listener who may still be listening to this, thank you so much for going through this.
Yeah.
I think that this was we continue to be more and more ambitious, I think, with these exhibits.
Yes.
and this one definitely took a lot of work recording and editing. But thank you so much to the people who have said hi in Discord and encouraged us to keep going. Thank you to our Patreons. We're excited to pretty soon do more shout-outs to Patreons and also add more stuff on our Patreon that you get access to. But first and foremost, it's really just a way to give back if you've appreciated what I hear is like 23 hours at this point. Someone counted the hours of content we've done without the like bonus episodes. Someone on Discord counted the hours, and it's a lot. So like, you know, giving back is something that we really appreciate. And thank you so much to the people who have done it so far.
It's been awesome to see all the support and theorizing and whatnot. So I mean, yeah, this is the end of our 10th exhibit, I believe.
That's a lot. That's a lot to do on something that is not our jobs. But we love it. It's so fun.
Oh, yes.
I'm just so happy that we're doing exactly what we want to be doing, and there are other people who like it. It could be two other people, and I would be over the moon about it. So it's awesome that it's a couple hundred. So thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, thank you.
Next time we'll be doing my exhibit, which I will tell you right now is not an exhibit.
Oh.
Technically, the word exhibit will not be in the episode titles.
Fascinating.
Do with that what you will.
I have many questions.
Good. Keep them to yourself. Nathan, I guess I'm sort of wrapping up, but is there any last things that you just are dying to get off your chest about the... I mean, here's the thing. I would ask you questions about Genevieve and Melanoy, but I want to discover those rather than asking you about them.
Yes, I promise that answers about Melanoy, answers about what Genevieve wants and why she's doing what she's doing, what the Sanguine Serpent steel is, what the Amulet steel is, all will be answered in the next two exhibits.
Rock on. I love it. Well, thank you, Nathan. Even though you betrayed me this exhibit, I choose to stay your friend.
thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. No, absolute blast. All right. Thank you. And we'll talk again soon.
Until the next time.